Bono Precious Toldos. The shiur this evening is sponsored by Karen and Marty Wolfson and family in memory of Mrs. Miriam Suss, whose yard site is tonight, the neshama should have an aliyah. It's also sponsored by Jonathan and Alyssa Siegel in memory of grandparents, Shmuel Avram ben Arav Dov and Brian Dov Basser of Yosef Aryeh. Shama should have an aliyah. Shesimot Nachas Ruach and Tar Mitzvahs and Ma'isim Tovim that all the families are involved in. We're speaking over the past 2 days about trying to understand the fact that Yitzchak seems to favor Esav, that he's ready to give the brachos to Esav. So one thing that the Sfarna has shared with us already is that we should understand that Yitzchak in no way thought that Esav was going to be his spiritual heir. He understood that that was really the position of Yaakov Avinu. That's why at the end of the parasha, without qualification, Yitzchak calls in Yaakov and he says, V'yitan lecha as birkas Avram, the birkas Avram, the bracha of Avram Avinu, the bracha of the legacy of the Mesorah should be given over to you, Yaakov. There's never any question about that. That's why we saw yesterday that even when Yitzchak wants to bless Esav, he first insists that Esav engage in an action of kibud av, that he first engage in an act of mitzvah. That's why he asks him to bring him the meat, aseli matamim, because again, that's why he asks him to bring the meat, to bring the matamim, because it's that act of kibud av which is going to make him fit to be able to receive the bracha. Otherwise, Yitzchak Avinu realizes that Yaakov is fit to receive the bracha. Esav really isn't. He has to do something first. And in fact, the Sfarno criticizes Yitzchak for showing as much favor to Esav as he did. Yitzchak really, from the get-go, should have insisted that Esav tell his wives to stop worshipping Avodah Zarah. He should have made it clear that he was going to give the bracha to Yaakov, even the bracha that he tried to give to Esav, that he should have given to Yaakov. And we're left a little bit hanging as to why, if Yitzchak recognized that Yaakov was on a higher level than Esav, why indeed did Yitzchak show so much favor towards Esav and being ready to give him the bracha? So we'll try to suggest something tonight based on a few passages in the Sfarno that we'll see tonight. Let's first start with Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Zayin. So Yaakov Avinu dresses up in the goat skins. He pretends to be Esav. He comes to Yitzchak. And then the pasuk says, "Vayigash vayishak lo." Yaakov came close to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak kissed him. Vayorach esreach begodav vayivarcheu. He smelled the smell of his clothing, and he blessed him. Vayomer, and Yitzchak then said, "Re'ei reach bini." Look at the fragrance of my son. Kireach sode asher bercho Hashem, like the aroma of the field, which is blessed by Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Something about the smell of Yaakov Avinu wearing these goat skins grabs the attention of Yitzchak, and he makes mention of it in a very positive light. And already Rashi asked the question based on the Bereishis Rabba. Goat skins, the beautiful, the wonderful aroma of goat skins. I have yet to see a perfume that's been named goat skin perfume. Perhaps there's one out there that just hasn't made its way to the Lower East Side. But, it doesn't seem like the sort of thing that would be a wonderful aroma. So what's going on over here? What's the reyach? So again, Rashi says what he says. The Sfarno says the following. Vayorach es reyach begodav. So Yitzchak smelled the scent of the clothing of Yaakov. Says the Sfarno, laharchiv es nafsho betanug horeyach. He wanted to fill up his soul with the enjoyment of that aroma. Ka'omram zichrono livracha, ezel dover shahaneshama nehenes mimenu, Bein haguf le'ane mimenu heve omer zel reach. As I'll talk about how one makes a bracha on a reach tov, on a good smell. So part of getting himself, his neshama, ready to bestow the bracha, says the Svarno, was smelling the scent of the garments of Yaakov. And he continues, Vayivarcheyu, Yitzchak blessed Yaakov ke'inyan, as the Pasuk says, by Elisha Hanavi, V'hoyo kenagen haminagen v'tiyolov yad Hashem. The Pasuk in Malachim Beis, Paragimel Pasuk Tesvav, describes how Elisha Hanavi wanted to attain a state of prophecy. So he called in somebody and he said, play on your harp. And as you play on your harp and I am moved by the music that you play, so I will attain a state of nevuah in that way. Says the Svarno, that's exactly what Yitzchak Avinu wanted to do. He wanted to ready himself for a state of nevuah. So therefore he smelled the smell of the clothes that Yaakov Avinu was wearing in order to get himself into that mindset. It still begs the question that Rashi raises from the Bereishis Rabba, really? The scent of the goatskins was such a pleasant scent that made Yitzchak, you know, that elevated his spirits, that uplifted him, that he was ready to bestow the bracha upon Yaakov. I guess, as the expression goes in Hebrew, "Bein tam l'reach ein l'hitvakeach." In other words, everybody to each his own. Everybody has a different sense of, you know, what's meaningful, what's not meaningful. Perhaps we wouldn't describe the aroma of the goatskins as, you know, quite the same as perfume, but it was powerful. I guess that's the idea that the Svarno was bringing out. It was a powerful scent, and for Yitzchak Avinu to connect to a scent, not a bad smelling scent, just a powerful. However you want to describe the scent of the goatskins, it was a powerful scent, and that triggered his olfactory nerves. You know, he was smelling. You know, it got him into that mood, and that itself has an impact on the neshama. It's very interesting to note that the Svarno doesn't say this with regard to the matamim, with regard to the food that Esav brought to Yitzchak. Others do say that. The Rabbeinu Bechaye, who lives before the Svarno, says that the reason Yitzchak wanted Esav to bring him a meal was exactly what the Svarno says over here with regard to the reyach, with regard to the scent. By Yitzchak eating the food, that would create a certain degree of pleasure, and that pleasure would elevate his spirit such that he'd be able to give the bracha. The Svarno strikingly doesn't say that. The Svarno says that with regard to the reyach, with the scent. Perhaps the reason he doesn't say like the Rabbeinu Bechaye is because, as the Svarno himself seems to indicate, the sense of smell is something that's more spiritual than the sense of taste. So in other words, the food would trigger physical pleasure. The smell would trigger some kind of spiritual pleasure, just like listening to the music for Elisha would trigger a spiritual pleasure, which would then bring about nevuah. Okay, good. So he's smelling the smell. And then he says, Re'ei reyach b'ni. Take a look at the scent of my son. The way most Mefarshim understand that phrase in the Chumash is that reyach b'ni is a possessive, it's a nismach, meaning Yitzchak says, look at the scent of my son. Look at how my son smells. Which again leads Rashi to say, not such a great smell, you know. Wow, my son, he smells like goatskins. It's not so geschmack, right? So what's he talking about? The Svarno says, no. The way to punctuate the pasuk is a little bit different. Ata b'ni, my son, right? Addressing Yaakov. Re'ei v'hisponein shezeh ha-reyach hu k'reyach sadeh. He says to Yaakov, I want you to reflect upon this scent. This scent reminds us of the scent of the field. So what? Shemovad hametzius hamaspiklo liyoso mazon le'ezer bal chayim hosif alav tovas horeach hamehane umoyel loruach hachiyuni vehanafshi v'zeh midarchei tuvo asher bercho Hashem. The Svarno reads into this pasuk a profound thought that Yitzchak Avinu is sharing with the person he thinks is Esav, but in point of fact is actually Yaakov. He says like this, My dear son, I want you to contemplate the niflos habore, the incredible things that the Ribbono Shel Olam did in making the world. He could have made a world that was absent any kind of scent or aroma. He could have made a food. He could have made a world where food didn't smell. Right? In other words, let's say you went out, you picked some fruits, you got some vegetables, you ate them, and they provided you with all of your body's nutrients, and that was it. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made a world where we would be sustained by the equivalent of pills, of, you know, vitamins. You know, okay, so, you know, you swallow the pill, you're an astronaut, you know, you swallow the pill, they tell you this pill is the equivalent of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you swallow the pill, and you say, you know, never really quite had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that was quite like this. Okay, you know, so, you know, the nutritionist tells you, well, it's just like you had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but, you know, it doesn't taste like it, and it certainly doesn't smell like it. Comes Yitzchak to Yaakov Avinu, again, who he thinks is Esav, and he says, Re'eh Reyach B'ni, my son, think about this incredible thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam made called Reyach, called aroma. K'Reyach Sodeh Asher Bercho Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into every field not just the ability to grow things that are nutritional and beneficial for us, but things that have a wonderful aroma and they smell. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the world not just with necessities, but with things that can elevate us spiritually. As the Sforno just said, the power of Reyach, the power of aroma, is to lift our spirits, not just to give us physical nutrition, but to give us, in a sense, a spiritual uplift. Why is he conveying this to the person he thinks is Esav? Because Esav, he knows, is a person, is Ish Sadeh, is a person of the field. He's a person, he's a this worldly kind of person, a very physical person. And Yitzchak, the ultimate Melamed, wants to instill in his son, who he thinks is Esav, you know, it's not just all about the physicality. Even within the physicality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates things that can lift our spirits and bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's trying to give a lesson to Esav. And says the Sfarno, that leads into the next pasuk. V'yiten l'cho ha'elokim ital ha'shomayim mishmanei ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you from the heaven, from the dew of the heavens and from the fat of the earth. Now we understand that that's the beginning of the bracha that he's giving to Yaakov / who he thinks is Esav. Right? That's what we say every Motzei Shabbos, the first of the brachas that we say after Shabbos is over. V'yiten l'cho ha'elokim. But the Sfarno interestingly understands that v'yiten l'cho is really only the second pasuk of the bracha. In a sense, the bracha, according to the Sfarno, starts with the words Re'eh Reyach B'ni K'Reyach Sada Asher Berecho Hashem. You want a bracha? The first step in getting a bracha is to recognize the brachas that Hashem has already placed in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a world that not only provides us with our physical needs, but provides us the wherewithal to be able to elevate ourselves spiritually. Listen to the Sfarno. V'yitem l'cho Elokim. Uvehisbonencha amidas tuvo. When you reflect upon what we just spoke about, the goodness of Hashem, in giving us not only physical needs, but enabling us to grow spiritually. Yiteng l'cha ba'asher hu ha'elokim sode mevorach. If you think about this idea of reyach, then v'yiteng l'cha elokim ital ha'shomayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you all of this greatness, but only when you start thinking about spiritual things. It's a bracha to the person he thinks is Esav, but it's also Musar to the person he thinks it's Esav. It's not just, here's a bracha on a silver platter. Sometimes, again, going back to our question, so why did Yitzchak show so much favor to Esav? Again, we spoke about the other day, perhaps Yitzchak had greater faith and confidence in Esav than was really warranted. But if we think about people who are big Balei Hashpa in our own lives and the lives of others, very often, when you believe in someone who seems to be a lost case, you can bring that person up to heights that they never thought was possible. Yitzchak looked at Esav and he said, oh, Nebuch, you know, he's a little bit of a lost boy. But you know what? Maybe if I speak to him in the right way, maybe if I give him a bracha and encourage him, so that will lift him up. I'm not going to give him the bracha of Avraham Avinu, but if I give him a bracha, and I mix the bracha together with words of Musar, you know, think about how you can become spiritual through the physical. So you know what? Maybe if instead of talking down to him, I talk up to him, I try to lift him up, maybe he'll become somebody. Maybe he'll lift himself up and go in the right direction. Again, we're surmising based on the Svarna. We don't know exactly. But it's a reasonable way to understand how Yitzchak could have seen Esav for what he was, but to still think that he could be rehabilitated just if he had the proper hadracha, if he was brought in the proper way. He then goes on to bless Esav, that not only will you have prosperity, but you'll have political dominion. Pasuk Chof Tes, Yavducha Amim, the nations will serve you, V'ishtachavu L'chol Umim, and the other countries are going to bow down to you. Hevigvir Li'achecha, you'll be the master over your brothers, V'ishtachavu L'chol B'nei Imecha, and the children of your mother will bow down to you. So how do you understand that, if you're Yitzchak thinking that this is Esav? Again, if you think Esav is the biggest tzaddik who ever walked the earth, I understand, you're giving him dominion. But that we've already established, according to the Svarno, that wasn't the perspective of Yitzchak. He recognized who Esav was. He may not have recognized how bad Esav was, but he recognized, you know, this was not the contender for tzaddik of the month. You know, he understood what was going on with Esav, at least to a degree. So then why give such a person dominion? Why make him the chief, the CEO, if he's so obviously lacking? So listen to this. Ki choshav, says the Svarno, Yitzchak thought, sheyiyeh tov liYaakov shetaspik lo nachlus Eretz Yisrael. First of all, Yaakov was destined to get Eretz Yisrael. That we've already established. At the end of the parasha, the brach of Avraham Avinu was going to go to Yaakov, and that was always going to go to Yaakov, and the brach of Avraham Avinu includes Eretz Yisrael, so Yaakov's always going to get Eretz Yisrael. Right? So in other words, but he's only going to get Eretz Yisrael. The dominion over other nations, Yitzchak Avinu wants to give to Esav. He wants Yaakov to only have Eretz Yisrael, and not to have a mega empire, right? He shouldn't have the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire we can give to Esav. Yaakov should have Eretz Yisrael alone. And not only that, but sheyichye ba im ezeh shibud. It would be good for Yaakov to live in Eretz Yisrael, says the Svarno, understanding Yitzchak, with some degree of subjugation to another power. It would be good for Yaakov to have Eretz Yisrael, but to not have independence, to be dependent on Esav, who will rule over even Yaakov and Eretz Yisrael. Why? Kidei shlo yatrid nafsho binyanei hasroros v'havlei hanifsadim. Says Yitzchak Avinu, I don't want my dear Yaakov having to bother himself with politics, in Yonei Hasvaros, government, v'havle hanifsodim, and vanities and frivolities of this world. If I put Esav in charge of Yaakov, and Esav is benevolent to Yaakov, again, that's maybe the fatal flaw in what Yitzchak is assuming, but assuming that Yitzchak understands that Esav will treat Yaakov well, if Esav rules over Yaakov, Esav can take care of governance, and Yaakov can devote himself to learning and to ruchnius, to spirituality, which is really better for him anyway. It's not in Yaakov's best interest, Yitzchak thinks, for him to have to worry, what, you have to worry about assembling a majority in the Knesset, and I'm going to handle with this one and handle with that one, and we'll cut a deal over here, we'll cut a deal over there, and you know, the election's going to be very close, and then you know, we'll get this number of seats and that number of seats. What does Yaakov need that for? let Esav rule over Eretz Yisrael in a benevolent fashion. They'll take care of fixing all the potholes. And Yaakov will sit and learn. That's what Yitzchak thinks. Kimo shekara lezaro acharkach. V'shiye tov lo shiye meshubo tachas ochiv. In fact, to continue Yitzchak's thinking according to the Svarno, it's better for Yaakov not to have to be directly involved in politics and government. He should be subjugated to some other power. And what better power to subjugate himself to than his own brother? In other words, why should we bring in some outside power to rule over Yaakov? The most benevolent ruler would be Esav, who's the brother of Yaakov. And he quotes the Gemara, O betulach, O betulo debar Esav. The Gemara in Gittin says that the Chazal beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We either want to live in your shadow or in the shadow of the Bnei Esav. In other words, if there's anyone who's going to subjugate us, let it be the Bnei Esav, because at least they're mishpacha. Umipnei shiyoda sheretz Yisrael hoysa ru'uya liyakov bilvod, lochein bezos habrocha shechoshev levarches Esav lo hiskir birkas Avraham v'lo eretz Yisrael. Kemo shehiskir liyakov shikiro vercho. So, says the Svarno, it's striking how there's no mention of Eretz Yisrael in this bracha which Yitzchak is giving to the person he thinks is Esav. V'yitan l'cho Elokim, yital ha'shomai mishmanei ha'aretz. Where? Not Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael, again, is given over to Yaakov Avinu, and that was always the plan, to give it over to Yaakov Avinu. So what emerges from the Svarno is a fascinating idea which we see echoes of in later Mefarshim in the Achronim. The Malbim talks about it, the Aksav HaKabbalah talks about it, numerous later Mefarshim developed this idea that Yitzchak Avinu envisioned some kind of partnership between Esav and Yaakov. He understood who Esav was, he understood who Yaakov was, but he saw something like a Zvulun Yisachar kind of partnership. Again, it wasn't that, but he saw Yaakov Avinu being assigned to the realm of the spiritual. Esav, he said to himself, is the kind of person, he's not going to be a lamdan, he's not going to be a Rosh Yeshiva, but he'll be the one, the politician, who takes care of the Rosh Yeshiva. That was the vision that he had of Esav. So you know, he's not so good at giving mussar to his wives, you're right, you know, he has failings in that regard. But you know what, he'll be a benevolent overseer to his brother and to his descendants. So you know what? He should be matzliach. He should have hatzlacha in physical things. He should rule over Yaakov so that Yaakov doesn't have to worry about all of these physical things. And ultimately, that will be the best partnership that they can possibly have, that Esav is going to take care of the physical, Yaakov is going to take care of the spiritual. Of course, we know that Yaakov Avinu comes and he takes the bracha which was supposed to go to Esav. And later on we'll see that what that indicates is something that the Svarno believes is really the right way to set up a society. Meaning, what Yitzchak Avinu thought, that there should be a bifurcation of spiritual leadership and physical leadership, the Rosh Yeshiva on the one hand and the politician on the other hand, the Svarno believes that's not such a healthy way of doing things. That the ones who are running in the political sphere, the ones who are running the physical aspects of existence, have to be spiritual people as well. And that's ultimately what's symbolized by Yaakov Avinu taking the brachas. This was the bracha of physicality, of physical leadership, of political leadership, not of spiritual leadership. No one ever thought to give that to Esav. Everybody understood what Esav was. But even the bracha of political leadership is best given over to the hands of a Yaakov, and not left in the hands of an Esav. Wish everybody a good Shabbos, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up next week with Parshas Vayetzei. Hanan ben Akasha Omer.